You think you were born accidentally? I hope not. We were born for a purpose. And God's purpose is that we serve God. We serve the Christ who claims us. We serve as Paul puts it, as ambassadors. And I want to congratulate you three. You get a little certificate saying ambassadors for Christ, which we all are. And I have a few left over for every one of you who Santa put on his nice list, okay? Would you pray with me? Your purpose drives this world, Heavenly Father. Your life gives life to this world. And your Son, Jesus, is our life and our salvation. Bless us to proclaim him each day for Jesus' sake. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. That's the shortest gospel text I think I've ever had. I think anybody has ever had. One verse. A lot of lectionaries give you a whole running start into this. I think because we get uneasy at the simple words we hear. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Named. Whenever I think of naming, I think of the second act of Romeo and Juliet, where Romeo says, he jests at scars that never felt a wound. And then Juliet appears in her balcony window. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. And he overhears Juliet thinking out loud, O Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. What a question. On the other hand, I think anonymity is sometimes enjoyed by other people. In a large lecture setting, a university student walked up with his test paper after time had been called and after all the other papers had been turned in. And the professor looked at him and said, who do you think you are? And the student said, you don't know my name? And the prof said, no. Student said, good, and stuck his paper in the middle and ran away. You can get by with things without a name. And sometimes names are burdensome. I had all kinds of nicknames when I was a kid. And I've come to like my full name instead of any nickname like my parents gave me. An odd thing, because my dad was the one who helped me get this name, and he hated his name. It was Voldemar as well. I got my name, and when I visited my parents down in Arizona while my dad was still alive, they carefully told me that you have to be gentle with our friends because they can't say Voldemar. And I said, that's remarkable, because a friend of mine in California I just visited had a 3-year-old granddaughter who could say my name perfectly well. And my dad didn't have anything to say about that. Names. We focus so much on names, and I think at times as we hear this text, we don't hear what the text is saying. Because the focus, while it is on the name, flows through another matter. If we start with the name, we miss an awful lot. If we start with the name, we skip over the circumcision. How many sermons have you heard on circumcision? I don't recall hearing a single one myself. I think in part because we're a little embarrassed. And the circumcision of our Lord is a far older festival than the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus is 6th century. I think the circumcision of our Lord was 1st century. It starts with circumcision. And it starts with circumcision as part of covenant. Berith in Hebrew, the way I like to pronounce it. I tend to use the Ashkenazic pronunciation. Most people pronounce it bris, a Sephardic pronunciation. That means covenant, but it's also what they call circumcision. A mohel comes often to the hospital on the 8th day in our culture, and with family and friends, close friends around, the child, the male child, is ritually circumcised. And the rabbis argue on both sides, but the consensus is that there should be a little bit of blood and a little bit of pain, because the covenant is not an easy matter. I don't participate in brises, so I don't say anything about that personally. It is part of a covenant, which is an odd word in our society. When last did you use that word covenant? A covenant comes in basically two orders. There's the covenant between us, kind of equals, that you're willing to be the kids and I'll be gentle on you. Then there's another kind of a covenant from a lord to the subordinates. And that's not a covenant where there can be a lot of lip. That's not a covenant which is negotiated. It is a covenant which is accepted or rejected. The covenant like that is an element of power. In British and I believe some European settings where the king was accepting fealty from others, the sovereign, and that's one translation for Lord in the psalm, the sovereign would put his hands outside of the other person's hands. You're in my hands. It's an element of power. And it is that kind of treaty which God gives to Adam, as he says to the first man and first woman, that I will send you a Savior. A promise that comes to Noah, as Noah is given that ark of the rainbow as a promise that there never will again be a flood like that. A promise which is given to Avram about circumcision, a covenant promise, a covenant in each case, a covenant with Abraham and with Moses and on through Scripture. And the covenant, this berith, often you'll read the word made in Scripture that you read in Hebrew. And the Hebrew verb there is korath. It is cut. You cut a covenant. Cut into rock, and then we have the 10 words that Moses brought. In Abraham's case, cut into flesh in the circumcision, which is the binding of the covenant, God to God's people. There's an eerie scene where Avram, great father as he's then called, is told about the covenant and he has a vision and he has previously gotten this three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat and a ram and all kinds of birds. And he slaughters the birds but everything else he cuts in two and puts the body pieces on each side. And the covenant is cut there. And he has this vision of this smoking oven and flaming torch traveling between the two. And there's the implication that if you break the covenant, you too will be cut. Covenant, a serious matter that we shrug about sometimes and fail to recognize. There is a covenant that goes on in our gospel today as there is a covenant in the flesh of our Lord. He who emptied himself, according to Paul, and became one of us, becomes part of that covenant and sheds his blood. And that's not enough to make us right with God. Because we as sinners, blessed as we are by the Torah, by the law, cannot be made right in our sin. And our Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, who flees to Egypt and then flees back. What irony. Our Lord Jesus, who emptied himself to become one of us, empties himself further and becomes obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And carved in his flesh is that new covenant we celebrate as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, knowing our brokenness and thanking God for God's extreme love. A covenant we enter as we gather in baptism, as we sign ourselves, or as we claim that baptism in daily life. A covenant which is not just a one-time matter, but it's a daily matter because we need it daily. And it is a way of life. The name of Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew and Aramaic, God saves. The name of Jesus becomes ours in baptism, and we belong to Christ. I like to think of myself as Christian. That was my grandfather on my dad's side's name. And in baptism, God makes us Christians. Carving that name of God into us, as I officiate at funerals, as I did last Tuesday, one of the last things I do before the coffin is closed is I mark that dead body with the sign of the cross. A remembrance to me, not to the dead body, but a remembrance to me that that is my salvation. And the name is whose I am. I belong to Jesus. And it is my name, who I am, and becomes what I do. For life. For life is more than wanting things and more than giving things as we do at Christmas. Life is something we face this evening as we go home. Go home cautiously, I hope. Go home before the bars close. Go home and realize that we have another year by the grace of God. And how do I want to spend those 365.24 days of my life? And looking at Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God as something to be seized or exploited, but emptied himself, humbled himself, became obedient to death, and is therefore now glorified, exalted by the Father. Today, this eve of the new year, our Lord Jesus comes to us in bread and wine to feed us and sends us out as little Christs, as ambassadors, more than just those three people over there. Not living for ourselves, but living for Christ. God bless you this eighth day of Christmas as we bear the name of Christ, salvation, into the world for which he died. And as that name bears us to life everlasting. And all God's people say, Amen. We pause for a moment.